Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 48. This is Jamie Russo. Thanks for listening. Today, we're going to demystify corporate coworking. If you missed last week's episode, we reviewed a sample coworking P&L. If you did miss it, definitely go back and have a listen. And if you'd like to see a copy of the sample P&L that we go through, text the phrase P&L sheet, that's P, the word and, the letter L, sheet, to 44222, and we will send a copy of that to your email inbox. And before we jump in, I want to tell you a little bit about Spare Desk. As more and more freelancers and professionals become untethered to a corporate campus, they are embracing their mobility and the ability to work from anywhere around the world. Spare Desk launched earlier this year and is becoming the platform for freelancers and digital nomads to find great places to work wherever they want to work. Spare Desk has thousands of active users who browse and book desks in over 35 cities every day. If you want your space to show up in those search results, list your space at sparedesk.co/spaces. Okay, on to today's episode. Welcome to today's podcast. Today, I'm talking with Chris Elliott, president of the Preferred Office Network, and also a Global Workspace Association board member. She is also an expert alpine skier, which we will talk about later. I asked Chris before the interview if everything was accurate with her bio, but I didn't tell her I included that part.
That would be inaccurate.
So Chris has joined me today to help to demystify the corporate co-working client. As I mentioned, Chris is the president of Preferred Office Network, and the company organizes and manages a proprietary network of 350-plus independent office business centers and, more recently, co-working spaces. Founded in the late 2010, the company's mission is to provide office space solutions to corporate clients on the most flexible terms in the industry. And I will let Chris walk through more details about how Preferred Office Network works. And prior to joining Preferred Office Network, Chris spent 10 years at Regis. So you could say that Chris has a little bit of experience in the industry. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today. So Chris, the corporate flexible workspace user is a hot topic for shared workspace operators these days. Everyone believes that they are about to be a huge driver for industry growth and sustainability. So thank you for joining us today to chat.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So tell us a little bit more about you and your background and a little, you know, include a little bit of your overview of what you did at Regis and then the genesis of Preferred Office Network.
Great. Thank you. So as you mentioned, I have been in the serviced office industry for many, many years. I started in late 1999, right out of grad school. I actually started with Omni Offices in 99, and through a series of mergers and acquisitions, Omni Offices, HQ, HQ Business Centers, HQ Global Workplaces. We were Vantis there for a while. Ultimately, Regis bought my company in 2004. And so I was with Regis from 2004 to 2010. And so the idea for Preferred Office Network actually started at a GWA conference. And it started.
All great things start.
Isn't that great? So my partners, who ultimately we started Preferred Office Network together in 2010, they, through a series of GWA conferences over the years, starting in around 2009, they realized that the strategic approach to acquiring corporate accounts was something that they were missing in their smaller office business center companies. So all of my partners had around 30 locations, and some of them had former experience with HQ, and one of them was an HQ franchisee back in the day. And they sort of were commiserating, you know, saying, gosh, I really miss that strategic approach to corporate client acquisition. And the idea was born then to create the Preferred Office Network, to band together all of the office business center companies across North America, and for those companies to operate on one platform to offer the corporate client this strategic growth pattern, the ability to go from Austin, Texas to Atlanta, to Boston to California, all on one agreement and on one consolidated invoice.
Exactly. And that is, so we'll talk a little bit about later about kind of how, you know, shared workspace users kind of acquire those users. But that is, yeah, you've just pinpointed like the struggle that the independent operator has bringing in those corporate clients, and then that the corporate client has trying to place their people in the right spaces in a way that they can sort of accommodate from their side in terms of invoicing and centralizing things. So, oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, right. And that's an excellent point. So we all have corporate clients, right? I mean, my partners had corporate clients in their centers, but we were talking about, you know, a bigger, more strategic approach to acquiring these clients, the client that they could have an ongoing revenue stream from. So really, rather, instead of having a Google employee come into an office business center on their own and find them locally, this would mean that Google was a corporate account and they had in all of their centers this preferred access to Google, so that the corporate user didn't just have Regis to choose from anymore if they wanted to expand across 400 locations on one agreement.
Yeah. So we should just kind of dive into, you and I had this sort of, for me, it was like an epiphany conversation about sort of how to think about the two buckets of how corporate clients get into spaces, because we're all doing our own sort of like SEO and digital marketing and trying to bring people into our spaces. And of course there are corporate clients who will wander by and find us, or who might feel like they're sort of, just kind of doing their own thing, looking for workspace versus working with someone from their company. And so corporate clients can happen to you, right? Like sort of is right through the normal course of your business. But the question, and I shared with Chris that a lot of, I think the Office Business Center folks are sort of have gotten on board with how this process works. But a lot of newer operators who call themselves co-working but have a mix of office space, you know, and open plan co-working space, don't understand how that process works at all, but understand that it's a real growth driver in the industry. And how do you put that all together? And Chris, kind of walked me through like, okay, so they can sort of happen as part of your normal marketing mix, but then some of the bigger players have their own in-house sales team who may, go out and, cold call and try to do business development and find those clients. And a lot of, I think, newer operators, just they don't have those resources. And so, how do you make that connection? And so that's essentially what Chris's company does. They are your, I'll let you kind of describe kind of how you work and what your role is.
Right. Okay. So that's an excellent point. So we all have corporate clients in our centers, and we do a great job. The office business centers, the co-working locations, serviced offices do a great job of local networking events and search optimization on the website. And so what that allows us is it allows us for the occasional rep from Coca-Cola and Accenture and even the occasional sales team from those companies. They find us, they come in and they tour, and we do a great job of showing them our locations, and they like it and they buy it. And so what Preferred Office Network does is we try to bridge the gap for the companies that have a lot more control at corporate real estate. So you're going to find as a local provider that there are corporate accounts that you've never had, not even the one local rep that straggles in. And that's because a lot of companies still have a lot of control at the head of corporate real estate. And so what Preferred Office Network does is we offer a strategic approach to actually acquiring these corporate accounts at the highest level. So we partner with workplace strategists and heads of corporate real estate. And our goal is to say to these companies who are putting 30 reps in office space in 2017. So they're going to take 30 different locations in 2017. And what we do is we cold call on them 100%. So we're not competing with you locally. We go out and we find those companies and we convince them and sell them on expanding across Preferred Office Network instead of what would maybe formerly only been a Regis opportunity for those 30 locations across the country.
Yep. So, I mean, you're essentially a business development arm. I remember when I opened in Chicago thinking, oh my gosh, there are so many Fortune 500 companies here. I need to outreach, and I just didn't even really know where to start. And right, I would have been doing what you're doing, but without the experience and the relationships and the history and the business and the, you know, the network that and they're looking for.
Yeah. And maybe the time. And
yeah, totally. The network
piece, yeah. And the network piece is a big point, right? So if you're a regional office business center company, even with 30 locations, even Premier has 90 locations plus or minus, and they're a member of Preferred Office Network. Because inevitably, 90 locations, you're going to call on that company and you're going to win a market, and then they are going to need a market that you don't have
right.
next time.
And then what?
Right. And that happened to us when we built our company. We, yep. you know, we had markets 1, 4, and 5. And I'll tell you, if you don't have markets 2 and 3, it's a problem.
Yep.
Because if you force them to go to Regis for half of their markets, it becomes easier to be with them all the time.
Right.
And that's why we're constantly seeking, you know, quality office business center co-working locations to broaden our network.
Right. And that's what you do versus, you know, somebody like Premier having to create partnerships and referrals and figure out how to bill. And it's right. complicated. Yeah.
Right. And Premier partners with us, you know, for exactly that reason. It's less expensive for them to be a partner with us than it would be to create a whole division to do, you know, to do what we do.
Do that on their own. Right. Exactly. So tell us, I mean, from the perspective of the corporate user, kind of over the last 10 years, you know, how do they look at flexibility? How do they think about their requirements and their options in the marketplace? I mean, a lot of, you know, you talk about Regis, there are a lot of their other big players like WeWork and Industrious, and then, you know, smaller players. How do they think about how they're using flexible workspace? Is that changing? And who they're, you know, interested in using and how they, you know, sort of what their requirements are for their users.
Yeah. So we've gone from, it's funny, in the 90s, in the late 90s and early 2000s, we did, when we hired new employees at HQ and Omni and Regis, we used to educate them on the benefits of shared space. So we used to physically call on corporate clients like Coca-Cola, and we would spend our time convincing them.
Yeah.
to come into flexible office space, and that you weren't a loser, you know, for lack of a better word, you hadn't lost the war on success
yep.
if you had to be in an office business center. And those days are gone, which is wonderful. You know, we no longer are the, I can't afford commercial office space providers and solutions. we're strategic, flexible alternatives for working closer to the house, for, you know, swing space, entering new market, testing it out. You know, we provide a lot of good quality reasons to be in a flexible alternative to that conventional space. And we're really seeing a shift toward having to even educate to that purpose at all. I mean, people, corporate real estate departments understand that they need flexible office space. They like it. We win RFPs for big banks, which is the last, you know, industry that I thought would get on board with us. And they want to be, you know, in a solution that is quick and flexible and predictable, and that continues to allow corporate real estate to maintain control over their employees. And control and visibility is a big point. Our clients, our heads of workplace strategy, you know, they don't love the surprises and the P&L that they can't control. So having visibility into Preferred Office Network, we provide our clients with a monthly consolidated report showing them every person in every office across North America. And they love that. They love to be able to really see where they stand when it comes to flexible office space.
And your clients are, you'd bucket them kind of Fortune 1000?
Yes. So we call on Fortune 5000 companies.
Okay.
We know that our members, the operators in our network, love to get the Fortune 1000. They have cool names, and it really kind of shows off what we can accomplish. But we also see the need to focus on regional growing Fortune 1000 clients. I'm sorry, Fortune 5000, and even companies that start to pop up in the newspaper and, you know, sound like they've gotten some funding. You know, they need us, and we take a very educational approach when we call on these companies. We really see it as if, instead of calling on them and hoping they'll do business with us, we educate them on why they need us. And you know, you're so lucky we called you today because there's something.
We're solving a problem. Yeah.
We're solving a problem that you don't even know you have.
Yeah.
And so, and it seems to work, you know, having a little bit of, you know, having the confidence to really believe in what you do and the experience behind it.
Yeah. And the people in the locations in your network, I mean, they're all handpicked and well screened. And so you feel really confident that they're going to be happy where they end up. And you made the point when we talked about kind of how corporate users think about flexible space, that they are not, you know, they're not saying, okay, I need, you know, a space in this zip code. And they're not getting on Yelp, like looking for that space and calling the space and doing that themselves. So to your point, when you call them, you're presenting like a consolidated solution for them to put their people across the country where they need to be.
That's right. And we pioneered what we call our no-term agreement. So we offer our clients the ability to come and try a new market. The way we pitch it to them is we say, you know, enter a new market, stay as long as it works for your business, and then leave. And so all of our clients can provide a 60-day notice at any time in any market to leave and change directions. And the cool part is that we have an average term of 22 months,
yeah,
and it's climbing. So, yeah. So we've really learned and we've educated our operators along the way that just because a client can leave,
yep,
that doesn't mean they will.
Yeah.
And, but our clients, I mean, imagine how many of our clients have been locked into a 12-month agreement at Regis or even with my own operators, and something goes terribly wrong and they have to transfer that obligation or try to buy out the revenue and beg for a reduced term. And that has worn on these guys over the years. So now coming in and saying, listen, we only want you to be with us for as long as you really want to be with us. And it works. And our operators are a little skeptical at first because there's not a lot of notice there, but they really do tend to stay a very, very long time, probably more than the average in some of our operator locations.
Right. Right. Because, right, as long as things are going well, then there's a corporate bank account behind the membership.
Yes. Yeah. And probably zero collections and,
yeah, exactly,
good service revenue. Yeah.
They're giving the notice and they're not, yeah, they're not just kind of picking up one day. So, and you place most corporate users, you're placing in private space, I would assume, like either an individual office or like a team suite, but with closed doors.
Correct. Yes. It, so when we talked about the focused corporate strategic approach, the highest levels of corporate real estate, they are typically purchasing private offices for their teams at this point. Team rooms are really, we're seeing a huge increase in bulk space, team room usage, especially from the banks. I think it's their way of entering the flexible workspace industry is to kind of be together and,
yeah,
you know, strategize and continue to see each other and work together that way. But yes, we all know it, that the corporate accounts are using solutions like WeWork and co-working locations, but I don't feel like it's at the strategic approach yet. It's at the strategic level yet. When we sell for our co-working partners, we tend to sell private office space.
Yeah.
They use the whole location.
Yeah.
You know, they co-work. And,
right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And it's neat. They really like it. And more of them, I mean, we have a new co-working location that has, you know, kind of a brick painted graffiti wall. It's so neat. And our corporate real estate partners are like, oh gosh, I hope he likes that, you know, and then the employee loves it.
Right.
The employee goes and tours and says, that's the coolest thing ever. I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
So our operators are getting cooler and our corporate real estate partners are getting on board with it and the locals love it. So I think it'll only be a matter of time before we start seeing a shift toward more, you know, autonomy and allowing, the local corporate user to benefit from all of the space that our operators provide.
Do you think there's a point at which the corporate real estate team, you know, says, okay, you know, everybody can work from wherever they want a few days a week. You know, here's a stipend to go pick your own, you know, either sort of co-working space or office or, you know, whatever it is that you want, but sort of them sort of handing more of the like autonomy over to the user versus them sort of coordinating?
Yes, I do. And I think that's already happening with some organizations. It just depends on the amount of control that corporate real estate wants. So one of the things I've learned over the years is that the corporate real estate budget is the budget that handles the office space. So when you have a rogue local rep who goes in offices on their own, typically they're paying for that on a P card,
right?
Which is hitting their own
right
division's budget.
Yeah. You know, it's like, how does that get coded?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if, So if you're allowed to do that, you know, and I say, I mean, if you're good and nobody messes with you,
right?
I mean, you know,
yep.
you produce and nobody wants to say anything.
Yeah.
Then you can get away with that. And I believe that in those opportunities or in those situations, corporate real estate is buying you one office and your local P&L is paying for whatever it is that you're going and doing.
Yep.
But I think that corporate users using flexible office space is in full swing. I think that the organizations are, you know, like I said, taking the solution and running with it from a strategic perspective. But it depends on the amount of control that they want. And they're starting to swing the pendulum, you know, kind of back and forth. I read an article this week about IBM.
Right.
And I don't know if you saw this, but they released, they're bringing everyone back from home offices into corporate space. And I remember I was with Preferred Office Network, so it was maybe 2012. I remember when calling on IBM and helping them transition their teams to these home offices. So in a lot of cases, people don't want to go home. And we provided them with office space while they were transitioning home. And now they're coming back, you know, so, I don't know yet why they're coming back or what's going on internally, but I know control is a big part of it because they're working with us on trying to acquire that control. And so I believe in my experience that control and visibility drive a lot of what goes on in an organization, and some companies want more than others.
Yeah.
And the P&L probably has a lot to do with it and how that's structured internally.
I mean, it's super practical when you think about it. It's just like, from a practical standpoint, if you have all these people submitting charges for flexible office space that's hitting not the right budget on the back end, then it's just too hard to manage.
Right. So either the IBM folks went home and the performance wasn't where it needed to be. And so maybe this is a penalty. But the funny thing is, I don't remember the IBM folks wanting to go home.
Right.
So it's been pretty disruptive in that organization. And and hopefully they continue to realize that there's a step in between where somebody's not driving 50 miles. So originally, we actually have a client who the cutoff is 50 miles. So if you live 50 miles or more from the corporate office, you can have an office, a flexible office. You can be with Preferred Office Network.
That seems like a really smart policy.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So, but if you live within the 50 miles, you have to come into the corporate office. So we have four or five reps from this company who are with us and they're together in a team room. And then, so they have like a mini hub, an offsite hub.
Yep.
And it works for them. So hopefully IBM, we can use that company as an example of, showing IBM why they might want to.
The best of both worlds. Like,
Yeah. Cause you're going to freak everybody out. You're going to really move their cheese if you shoot them over 50 miles back to an office. So. Yeah,
seriously. Because really you can truly live anywhere, I suppose. And so people may have made some decisions to move pretty far out, or even in high congestion. I mean, where I am, 50 miles would take you, the whole day.
Yeah, right. So SAP, they have to be able to do is get to an office once a week and get to a major airport.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's it. So that's the requirement. So people that I know that work for SAP or, in reps that we've had that have moved home have moved to cool towns with no center, with no office space.
Right.
So they might move to Charleston, which has some now, but over the years, all they have to be able to do is get to an airport and get to the office. So once a week they travel to Columbia, they travel 2.5 hours. Well, if the policy changes, That's yeah. bad news for them.
Right. They're like selling a house and right moving right. towns. They're the ones who read the like, top 50 best cities to live in the country and go pick mm-hmm. one of them. Yeah.
Right.
Which I always think about doing. Yeah.
Right. Me too. And then I think, well, what if we change our policy? Right. So, but an office business center is perfect for a company like that. And that's what we do at Preferred Office Network. So our goal is to call on those clients and win those deals, those big deals right there at the highest level for our operators in Charleston. So that exact story I told you, we have partners in Charleston now. And when IBM, if that has happened, or when SAP swings the pendulum a bit, we can bring business to our partners in Charleston that would have, maybe never had access to that space or wouldn't have time to go and read and be up to date on all that information.
Yep. And they can still leverage their central billing that's so important to them. So your right. partners in local markets, they could be single space operators. They don't necessarily have 90 locations like a Premier.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Actually, that's our biggest growth opportunity right now is Greensboro or Charleston, like I mentioned, Columbia, South Carolina, Katy, Texas is huge for us. We might have one location, but they stay pretty full because they're really well located, perfectly located. But yes, that really helps us. We do less business in New York City than you would think we would do.
Yep.
And my New York City, Miami, San Francisco partners say, I can't believe you don't have anybody in this location in San Francisco. And probably the reason for that is that they also have locations there, our companies.
Bro, right. That makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. But we might have a remote Toronto suburb that they're shocked when we call. Like, really? You have somebody for us?
Right.
Yeah. So yes, I would say that's there's a huge opportunity for that. And the operators that call us who have one location, they're always hesitant. I don't know if you want me.
Right.
I think you are exactly who we want.
Yeah. So this was going to be my last question, but we'll dive in there now because that's how I felt when I finally understood how you work. I was like, oh, this is exactly the model. So I'm also a member of the League of Extraordinary Coworking Spaces, which is a group of, larger operators, some with multiple locations. But one of the most common topics on our calls is about corporate users and how to attract them and what do they need, but how are they finding space and how do we kind of connect with them? And, we have our own little mini network, but have never figured out exactly how to leverage it from that standpoint. And so when you described what you do, I was like, oh, right, that's exactly what we've been trying to solve. And really, I mean, to me, it just makes sense to work with a Preferred Office Network because you're doing the work that, we're not really able to do with the resources we have and make those connections. And anyone, so who is a good partner for you? What does that look like? And if they're interested in learning more, who should they reach out to?
So that extraordinary coworking network that you talked about that's exactly the type of opportunities that we're looking for and it's a pay for performance model. So there's no cost to be a part of Preferred Office Network. You enter this drawing for our corporate clients to find you, and being in it to win it is, sort of our philosophy. So we don't make any money until we bring you a qualified corporate client. And you have total control, which is really nice. So you have the ability to say, yeah, those Google guys are, they sleep in my reception area, and they do. So we, you don't have to take them. So this is such a flexible, everybody, our operators are very much in control of who they have in their locations. And if we find you a good fit and it's good for everybody, then there's a benefit. There's a win across the board. So I guess in terms of what we're looking for, it is simply the ability to provide a quality work environment for a corporate account. And we list all of our members on our website, and we're very proud of the members that we have in Preferred Office Network. And you can find out who those members are by going to preferredofficenetwork.com and clicking on members. And you'll see there that when you see the members' logos. You can actually click through directly to their website. So we're very transparent. We want our clients to access the locations directly for our members and, visit those and take a look at the different spaces they have and understand their corporate culture while they're on those websites. And then to join Preferred Office Network, under that members tab, there's a become a part of something bigger section, and you just fill that out and we'll be in touch right away. And obviously anyone can email me at any time at chris.elliott@preferredofficenetwork.com. It's Chris with a K, dot Elliott, ELLIOTT, at preferredofficenetwork.com.
Yep. And this will be episode number 48. So everythingcoworking.com/48. And I will make sure to include all of Chris's contact info and the link to the website and all that good stuff and notes from the podcast on the show notes page. So perfect. I'm glad we made this connection because I think there's so much value in what you do and helping to understand kind of where the corporate client is coming from and what they're looking for and how they operate and how they look for space is important. And I hope we haven't given away all of our secrets because I mentioned Chris is on the Global Workspace Association board, and we have a conference coming up in September, the 11th through the 13th. And one of our key themes this year will be the corporate user and how to attract them and how to work with them. And we'll be doing some sessions on that and some deep dives, and Chris will of course be there. So if you'd like to meet Chris and learn more and get all of your detailed questions answered, she will also be at the conference. And we'll include links to the registration page for the conference on the show notes as well.
Yes. Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it. I appreciate you interviewing me and letting me join. I had a great time. Thank you.
Well, lots of great tidbits and insights that you shared. So I really appreciate it as well. And hopefully everyone got a lot of value out of this. So thank you for taking the time out. And we look forward to sharing more at the conference in September.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.